Yeah, I mean, look, before we went into COVID-19, well, nearly 18 months or so ago, we already had a significant issue with mental health in Aotearoa, but every country on the face of the planet in the Western world have had their problems as well at the same time. And so very much it's been amplified, I would strongly argue. And indeed, last week, I joined with Andrew Little, the Minister for Health, in launching the new National Mental Health Strategy, which has been a long time in coming. And that's through the amazing work of people like Sir Mason Jury and others. But it has been amplified. A lot of people are doing it tough, and no more so than Māori. When we were going into this crisis, both the suicide rate amongst Māori was amongst the highest in the Western world, and has been for some years. And also, though, for those who end up making an attempt on it to take their lives, very few succeed, thankfully, but they're left behind with this feeling of both guilt and trepidation, anxiety, and goodness knows what. And so, very much, this is the work we need to do. And of course, mental health is not all just about a pre-diagnosed mental health condition, Claudette. It's not all just about schizophrenia or the things that we associate with mental health. Often it's about the daily struggle of life. And that too has been amplified as a result of lockdown, housing, loss of jobs, closure of a small business, where to get my next paycheck from, right down to when you're stuck in a house with more than just yourself, all of a sudden cabin fever sets in, relationships become come under pressure, and so the daily struggle is definitely a challenge as well. So, but I've got some tips for everybody. That's my view on where we are at the moment.
Yeah, look, it does seem to be ever present with us. Do we, how normalized do you think this issue is for us? And do we cure it, or do we just learn to embrace it and live with it?
Well, the first thing I say to people, and I've been in this area for quite some time, it's okay not to be okay, all right? And that needs to be a message to everyone. We all struggle. Hell, I struggle on the odd occasion as well, even though I like to think I'm more resilient than a crocodile's handbag. That thick-skinned nature in us all. But even the most resilient amongst us have their challenging days. So first thing is, it's okay not to be okay. The second thing is that not one person I've come in contact with, particularly males, Māori males in particular, when you open a conversation, you quickly get to the point, well, something's troubling them. So for us, it's about identifying how to have that conversation, how to get people to be relaxed enough to say, oh yeah, Matt, this is what's happening in my life, and blah, blah, blah. And one of the conversation starters I always give somebody is, you're not alone, you're not the only one. Trust me, I know something's going on, only you know what's going on. But how can we shadow box together this sort of thing? Because a lot of people just feel as if it's them. It's not only them. There's a lot of people going through the same problem. So it's not that it's become normalized. There's still people that think, it's evil to talk about depression. It's wrong to talk about the way that I feel, particularly Māori males. But all I can say is we need to encourage them more. The one thing we shouldn't do is goad each other as well. To the point where we're trying to get a rise out of somebody or whatever. We don't know what might be going on in someone's life. So just being completely always on the negative and on the attack also doesn't work. Mike King does a really good has a really good way of describing this. A couple of years ago when we were on the road together, and by the way, Mike, you don't have all that many good knock-knock jokes, bloody heck. Being stuck in a car with Mike and his knock-knock jokes is not a good afternoon. Mike had made a really good point. And that is, when people, particularly young people, post something on social media, you get 99 likes and you get that one sad emoji face. And we tend to focus not on the 99 people that love what we're doing, but on the one person that's just pretty much mostly being a smart ass. And we get so enveloped in that world of negativity. So there's a lot going on. So it's not normalized, but we need to do a lot more.
You see, that's talking about contemporary stuff, how it is for us here and now, that online stuff, that's the here and now. We must remember also too, do we not, that we have intergenerational trauma that Māori Indigenous peoples are dealing with, and that has added to our mental health and the pressures around that. Sometimes that is that's more difficult for people to name.
It is really difficult, and what I hate to see happen is people say, oh well, it happened all those years ago. How can it be your mamai that's carried forward? How could it be your grief that's carried forward? Well, one of the most obvious ways it's carried forward is the circumstances an individual finds himself in life. I'll give an example. I mean, the poverty trap. If somebody today is still entrenched in poverty that our whānau and their tūpuna were all those years ago, then that plays on the mind. That's a very real present feeling. The other one is just the way that people get treated in public. You get on a bus and everybody else, no one sits next to you when they get on the bus because you feel as if it's being brown, being Māori, you know, all that sort of stuff. Mental health, depression, anxiety, nerves, and all the rest of it, it metamorphosizes itself in so many different ways. It's wrong to discount the way people feel about colonization. It's wrong to discount how they might feel about the grief that their whānau have suffered or their mum has. I was watching Dover Samuels, for example, the other day, and he's carried forward a lot of hurt and mamai in relation to being caned at school for speaking te reo Māori. Now, Dover is into his 80s now. He continues to carry that grief and that experience forward. And so discounting it is wrong. It's a very real thing.
Thank you very much for that. I just want to get your whakaaro on because I know that you had been advocating on behalf of the industry as well too. Yay! Some of that $50 million bucks from Minister Whawhai ended up right across, thank God, it ended up right across the industry. 110 journalists are now going to be employed. Māori is part, not just part of the mix, but is also part, an integral part of that journalistic future for news gathering and distribution. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I'm so proud of this. I mean, broadcasting and media is an area I just love because it enables us to just communicate our stories, our culture, our language, our songs, everything that's beautiful about being Māori to the general, including news, current affairs, sport, weather in Māori and all the rest of it. So, I've been really supportive of all the moves over the last couple of years to increase our pūtea, including infrastructure funding. If you walk into any iwi radio station around the country, the buttons are old, it's hand-me-downs and all the rest of it, and I'm seeing this as an opportunity for upgrades. But wow, what an awesome opportunity. I mean, look at the grey hair I've got going. Isn't it fantastic that we're going to see a lot of young journos, young content producers and development whānau come through what this new announcement is? We're going to be able to build up our talent base, and they're there. These young people, my goodness, I mean, you should see some of the stuff they do on TikTok, the old TikTok for crying out loud. But to harness that potential, and I also see this as an opportunity to bridge the misunderstanding that's often out there between Māori and non-Māori in this race to the bottom around ethnic affairs, race relations, and Tamir Tamir. I think it's wonderful. Good on that. I will say, I reckon Willie Jackson deserves a bit of a big tick up the box for this one, because I know he's passionate about it. And all of those, Ali Henry, yourself, I mean, your advocacy too, Claudette. I mean, and I don't think you started your career ambition as being a talkback radio or radio host, right? Often you fall into it because it's such a beautiful medium to be in. So, look at me. I'm smiling like a Cheshire cat. Now, of course, I reckon there just needs to be a more on a much more regular basis. So let's not let this be the end of it. Let's keep on fighting for more.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Just finally, to passport up yourself, vaccination passports, passport up yourself or not? Is it, a breach of human rights, or is it just good health messaging?
Well, I think two things. Number one, I think we need to accept that if we want to travel outside these borders, it doesn't matter what we might want to do. If we want to go to Australia, if we want to go to the UK, Iceland, or wherever, we're going to require a passport because that's what they require us to have. So that's just being very pragmatic. In terms of getting it, this is interesting. I think the market will dictate this themselves. I think it's up to business to decide, who they want in and who they don't want in. And if they don't don't want in, then I'm sure somebody somewhere is going to take a test case. Me personally, I've had the double jab. I'm sure there's probably going to be a booster shot in there somewhere. I think COVID-19 is going to be with us for the long haul. But I'm not fussed either way of the ledger. But is it impeding on somebody's human rights? I think as long as it's up to the individual to decide, at the end of the day, I make a decision if I want to get on that plane and go to Iceland. I've got no idea why I've even said Iceland, never been to Iceland, don't propose to go to Iceland. Probably a polar bear is waiting there to maul me. But it's personal choice for me to do that. It's personal choice if I decide to want to go into a bar, the Mangere Bridge Hotel, for example, fine establishment in South Auckland. And if they have a vaccine policy that says only the vaccinated are allowed in, well, that's up to them. That's their business. I'm not too fussed either side of the ledger. What I do get concerned about is the affordability of it. So how much will this thing cost? What are we all going to be up for? Who's going to be paying for it? And is there going to be some sort of fee like there is on a passport at the moment, which, look at that debacle. It went from $100 or whatever it was, and all of a sudden it jumped up to $380 and it became quite unaffordable. So, you know, I'd like to know who's paying for the whole thing first as well. Mm.
Thank you so very much for joining us. Just one other thing while I've got you here, Matthew Tukaki. When is the Minister, Calvin Davis, going to release the Oranga Tamariki report that you and your colleagues had done?
Well, Claudette, how is he funny? You should ask. You know, you must have your ear to the ground. That's why I love coming on your show. I anticipate that the report will be released later on this week. And it will be released to the general public, and I anticipate I'll be saying more on the report on or around Wednesday morning, hopefully, all things considered.